I'm Mark, as Nick shared. It's so good to be with you guys this morning. Whether you're watching online or if you are here in person, it's just been a blessing to be able to gather in person, even with masks in this time. But we're in the midst of this series, Awakened, and there are so many things that we've been awakened to in this season that we're in, this phase that we're in. And for many of us, it's felt like, even as I shared a few weeks ago, like we're preparing for a marathon, and then somebody says, well, now it's going to be a triathlon. Like with this season, this phase that we're in continues to be extended, and we can be frustrated. Anger can be awakened in us. Confusion, questioning, anxiety, depression, so many things, sin, addiction, all of these things can be awakened. And yet God wants to work in this time, and we are unpacking that in this series, so I'm excited to be able to continue that with you this morning. Now, this morning, I have the opportunity to talk with you about uncertainty. See, uncertainty definitely has been awakened, right, in this time. We are uncertain about when everything was closed, when are things going to be open, and once they're open, and you're in other states, they had to close back down again, or, you know, then we have a mask mandate. All of these things, that when is this going to be done? This uncertainty, we don't know, and we have so many questions that can make me angry, can make me frustrated, and I'm sure it does for you. But the thing with uncertainty is that it's been around for a while, right? It hasn't just been in this COVID-19 season, but uncertainty has been around forever, really. And really, we deal with uncertainty outside of that, even in the present. Even as I shared a few weeks ago, our daughter Margot, she's going to be 2 in November, so she's 21 months right now. And right now, she cannot walk on her own. And she has hypermobility, so she has these braces that go just above her ankle. And just yesterday we were at the park, and for her to walk, I have to hold at least one of her hands, but if not both of her hands, and we're just walking all over the park, and I try and enjoy these moments, but there's some uncertainty there as a parent of when is she going to be able to walk on her own. She's 21 months. Hopefully by the time she turns 21, she will be able to walk, and I think that's the case. But we have these things, whether they're big, medium, or huge, where we have uncertainty. What's going to happen? We want a promotion. We want a raise. We want to have kids. We want our kids to move out. You know, when are these things going to happen? And there's some uncertainty that arises with division and racial tension and political divide. When is all of this going to be resolved? And we're actually going to talk more about that next week when it comes to those things. But for this week, with uncertainty, we all can wrestle with these things and deal with uncertainty. Even for the things that we hold dear. Just a couple summers ago, 2018, I was a pastor at another church and got woken up, it was in July. Usually I have like do not disturb on my phone, but if somebody calls twice, this is maybe a trick now, you guys are going to have my number, call me twice in the middle of the night to wake me up. But if you call twice, it kind of gets through and I kind of like wake up and I'm like, who's calling me? And it goes to, you know, I miss the call because I'm all disoriented in the middle of the night. And I see that it's the senior pastor. He called me 2 times in a row. And I told Andrea, like, hey, he called me. She's like, you should call him back. I'm like, really? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay. So I'm going to call him back. And in my moment of disorientation and frustration, why is he calling me? But it's probably for a good reason, right? So I talk to him, and he comes to tell me that a family, some people that attend our church, they lost their son. He drowned in a pool. And it was devastating. He's 6 years old. And to hear that, and I'm out of state and he's far away, so we're trying to figure out how can we care for them in this time. And I was able to get back to help to navigate that with the family, to be there in the funeral home, to begin those plans that none of us would ever want to plan for something like that. There's uncertainty, right? Even tomorrow is not guaranteed. So what does that mean? Does that mean that we hunker down in our basement, let's keep our loved ones and everyone safe? You know, we're in the Midwest, I'm from LA, so we don't have basements. So here at least we can go down into our basement and just because we're afraid and because we don't know what's going to happen next, what do we do with that? And what does God's word, what does Jesus, we're going to look at in John chapter 16, and then also the Apostle Paul have to say that can help us? help us in this season of uncertainty, whether it's COVID-19 related, whether it's things in our own family, whatever it might be. Maybe it's even the uncertainty of our Trinity Church family. What does God have to say to us this morning? But before we really dive into that, let me pray. Father, I'm thankful that your word is true, that it is as relevant now and impactful now as it was when these letters and the Old Testament, New Testament, when it first came together, and you were in the midst of all of that, and it was so applicable to your people back then, and it is now, even in 2020. And we're thankful for that, that we have a faith that is so relevant and so applicable to our everyday lives, that it sustains us and that it gives us what we need. When we're weak, when we're weary, when we're frustrated, when we're angry, when whatever we're doing, that your word is so impactful and speaks truth and life to us in times that we really desperately need that. So we're thankful for that. Be with me as I share this morning, and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So uncertainty, like I said, it's been around for a while, and actually the disciples, they had to navigate that with Jesus. In John chapter 16, this is what many people call his farewell discourse. Jesus, he's talking to his followers, his disciples that he's lived life with and has ministered with and discipled and been with. And he's trying to help them to say, hey guys, guess what? In a little while, I won't be around, but then again, I will be back again. It's going to be okay, but I'm going to have to go. And they're like, hold on, Jesus. This doesn't make any sense. You're supposed to be like a king, an anointed one, or a Messiah. We kind of need you around if we're going to want to see the things that we want to see from you. You're a king. We want your kingdom. So we need you here, Jesus. What does this mean? This is uncertainty. They're uncertain about what Jesus means. What is this all going to be about? And in John chapter 16, we're going to look at verse 16 in just a second. But before that, Jesus begins to tell them, hey, there's going to be a helper, the Holy Spirit that's going to come. And in fact, it's to your benefit that I go, because the Holy Spirit's going to come, be your helper. And also that the Holy Spirit is going to convict the world of sin. The Holy Spirit is going to play a key role with what I want to do, and about Jesus being king and being bringing his kingdom. But the disciples were still having a hard time with this. And in verse 16, Jesus says, a little while and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while and you will see me. And you're like, what does that mean, Jesus? A little while I'm not going to see you, and then a little while we're going to see you again? Are we going to play like hide and seek, Jesus? Like, what does this actually mean? I was just thinking, like, you know, a go-to game in our household is actually hide and seek. So Joelle, she will go and hide in the same spot every time. So it's like a beginner's, you know, version of hide and seek. So I'm like, I know where she's at. But, you know, I hide too, and there's only a few places in the house. It's not, like, very difficult. And they can hear me, and they come and hide. You know, they come and find me, and we all, like, scream, and it's an exciting thing when they find me. And even just the other night, I wasn't at home in the evening, and Andrea was, my wife, she was saying that Margot thought I was hiding, so she was going to try and find me. And unfortunately, I wasn't there, but she saw me the next day. So, but is that what Jesus is saying here? It's like, hey, I'm going to be gone, but don't worry, you're going to see me again. They're like, what is this all about? They're speculating and trying to figure this out. And Jesus says a few verses later, is this what you're asking yourselves? What I meant by saying a little while and you will not see me. And again, a little while and you will see me. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. So we can see in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of the confusion, that for the disciples, their grief, their sorrow will turn to joy. And that is the case for us as well. But what Jesus is saying here is that he's going to go away, that he's going to be arrested. He's going to be crucified. He's going to be put in the tomb. He will die, and they will be sorrowful, as we would all be. But in the rest of the world, those who crucified him, they will rejoice. But their joy, their grief will turn to joy. And really, for us, when we're grieving, when we're angry, we're frustrated, we're going through the season that we're in, that the same reason for the disciples, their grief to turn into joy, is the same reason for us. Because Jesus has defeated death. He is going to win in the end. Not only has he defeated death and he has overcome, but he will overcome and he will right the wrongs of this world. We know this to be true. Those of you who are followers of Jesus, you've seen him show up time and time again in your life that he's been faithful. And he does turn our grief into sorrow. We've seen this happen. I've seen this happen. And Jesus is saying to us as well, Trinity Church family, that your grief will turn into joy. But Jesus, he goes on to say, in that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So in the midst of uncertainty, in the face of trouble, joy is in our future. And not just a little bit of joy. It's like I have this cup of joy and it just has a little bit in it and I have to ration it until Jesus comes back or I die and go to be with Jesus and I have to just barely have enough. It's like, no, this joy, we are going to have so much of it that we won't know what to do with it. Or the message puts it this way, your joy will be a river overflowing its banks. We won't know what to do with all the joy we're going to have. And I think this is so important in the midst of a time of grief, of sorrow, of frustration, of uncertainty, because we know that we will experience that joy in the future, but we can begin to experience that joy now. That is available to us because the tomb was empty. Jesus has defeated death. And he sits at the right hand of God. And we were going to look at that in Romans 8 in a few minutes. That we know who's on the throne. We know he's victorious. And we know that we can begin to experience that joy. The joy that we've experienced as our sins have been forgiven. As we have this relationship with God. As we can ask God, go to the Father now and ask in the name of Jesus. Now, of course, we live in the world where there's uncertainty, where there's trouble, where there's tribulation. I think that is it. Okay. Here. Yes, Bubba's the man. Thank you. So, let's see where I was at. Trials, thank you. I'm going to start from the beginning. Is that okay? I'm kidding. Okay, so yes, these trials that we face, what do we do with that when we go to God and we ask? And honestly, sometimes we ask and God shows up. God answers prayers or he shows up in really difficult times and it's amazing. But sometimes things don't always go the way that we want. And what do we do with that? And how does Jesus help us with that? So we're going to talk about that in just a second. But let's continue on here. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I don't say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. And then something clicks with the disciples as they say, now you are speaking plainly and not using figures of speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. While this is exciting for them, Jesus says, well, do you now believe? And he says, behold, like, okay, well, listen to this. The hour is coming. Indeed, it has come. When you will be scattered, each to his own home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. So Jesus is saying that these guys, and they do, scatter in his darkest hour, which is amazing as they've lived life with Jesus, as they've followed him, as they believe that he is the Messiah, the King that is to come, and all of that, and yet they scatter in his darkest hour. And Jesus could be like, well, I'm done with you guys. I'm going to find some new people. Actually, when I said a little while and you won't see me, and a little while you'll see me again, actually you won't see me again because I'm done with you guys. Of course, he doesn't do that. This is this our Savior who is patient with us, who loves us and desires us to follow him and be conformed into his image. He says this, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So we can see here Jesus offering peace, this peace that surpasses all understanding, will guard their hearts and minds, that Jesus offers that to them and wants that for them. He wants that for us as well. And that, what does he say? In this world, you will have trouble. You will have tribulation. This isn't an if. This is a we will have these things happen. So even in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of uncertainty, of trials and tribulations, that we can actually go to Jesus because he has overcome the world. Now, what I love about Christianity, really an authentic Christianity, when we're real followers of Jesus, we don't pretend like, well, everything is fine now. You know, I placed my trust in Jesus, and ever since then, I got this raise at my end promotion, and I bought this house, and then I got married, and I had all these kids, and then everything was just amazing, and I had this great life of wealth and prosperity, and because I placed my trust in Jesus, and that is not Christianity. And actually, the world can see that and they can see right through it. That's not real. That's not genuine. That is fake. But this is a real thing where Jesus is saying, we will have trouble. We will have tribulation. The world out there knows it. Those who aren't followers of Jesus see it. They see the world falling apart around them. They see the uncertainty, and they lash out against each other. There's division. There's tension. There's anger, frustration. And we know the difference. We see the world out there. We see tribulation. We see trials. But we know who has overcome. We know that Jesus has, and he will. He will right the wrongs of this world. He will come back, and he will wipe every tear from our eyes. This is what will happen if we place our trust in Jesus. So we know that. That doesn't mean that we avoid tribulation or we avoid every trouble. Many times we face these things, but in the midst of them, in the midst of uncertainty and trouble, be courageous. Be courageous. We can be courageous because of what Jesus has done. He has overcome. It's not like, well, I'm just going to motivate myself or do it all within my own strength, because guess what? If I start doing that, I'm going to lash out. I'm going to get angry. I'm going to start thinking things and then doing things that I don't want to do. And I'm going to be divided and upset just like everybody else. And at times I got to do that, and I got to go right back to Jesus and ask him for forgiveness. But Jesus has overcome the world. This is so key in this world where there's trouble. And we're overwhelmed, honestly. I've been overwhelmed by the world, and many people have been. And they are desperately seeking someone who can help them, and somebody who has defeated death, and they're looking for Jesus, even if they don't know that. And we have that, Trinity Church family. So let's continue on here. We're going to look at Romans chapter 8, and I love Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 talks about how there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if we're in Christ, our sin is paid for, and that we are not condemned. our destination, really, our default destination is hell, but Jesus, he paid the price. We can have eternal life, life now and forever. And there is no condemnation. And because of that, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in each and every one of us that are followers of Jesus. And even though Paul, as well as he's the same with Jesus, there's going to be trouble. And we mourn and we long for that day for us to be redeemed. And creation along with us, Paul says, is longing for this day when Jesus will make things new, where he will right the wrongs of this world. And yet when we can go to God and long and yearn and cry out, and we many times don't even have words to say, Paul says that the Spirit intercedes and pleads for us with wordless groans. And in the midst of all of that, God is working all of these things, uncertainty, trouble, tribulation. He works it all for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Amen. And out of that, we are going to be conformed to the image of Christ so that we can be a family, brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's this, with all of that in mind, we're going to look at verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect, God's chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. He is pleading for us. In the midst of uncertainty, remember you have been made right and that Jesus himself pleads for us. And with John 16 in mind, we can know that we can go to the Father and ask. And when we do that, when we don't know what to pray or what to say, that the Holy Spirit and Jesus is pleading for us. Is praying for each and every one of us. If we placed our trust in Jesus, he's pleading for us. And he loves the whole world, of course, and we know that. But he's pleading for each and every one of us. So in the midst of uncertainty, in the face of uncertainty, we know that we can have full access to God. This is huge. This is really why I personally became a Christian, is that I can have a personal relationship with God. This is amazing. The God who created everything. The God who sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for my sins, for our sins, and that he rose again on the third day and defeated death. We can have full access to this God. God the Father, we can ask in the name of Jesus anything. And when we don't even know what to pray, that the Spirit and Jesus is pleading for us. This is amazing that we can, in the face of adversity, in the face of uncertainty, not to avoid these things, but Jesus, like I said, this is a real authentic faith. When we're followers of Jesus, it's not that we avoid all of these things, but in the face of them, we have hope. When we mourn with hope. When we grieve, we know that our grief will turn to joy, that joy is around the corner, and not just a little bit of joy, but so much joy that we won't know what to do with it. And that is comforting. It's comforting even if I don't feel joyful in the moment, that I know that joy will come. And it's right around the corner if you don't feel like that right now. Now I want to continue on here with verse 35. He says here, Paul, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sakes, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Or the New Living Translation puts it this way. No, despite all of this, all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. We are overwhelmingly victorious. We will have victory in Christ Jesus. So the way I see this is Imagine we're playing a sport, maybe it's basketball, and it's the fourth quarter, and we're down like 25 points or something. And maybe the other team is kind of coasting, and they're like going through the motions, like, yeah, we got this win in the bag. And so we kind of go on a run, and maybe we get a few calls that go our way. And then at the very end of the game, we like hit this full court shot that just hits the backboard and goes in, and we just won. And we're like, wow, we shouldn't have won this game, but we luckily just hit this lucky shot. That's not what being victorious in Christ is about. That we will completely defeat our opponent. It won't even be close. We will blow him away. While Satan, he does come to steal, kill, and destroy. And those who are not in Christ Jesus, they will be destroyed. They will be defeated. But those who are in Christ Jesus, we have the victory. We have the victory in Christ. He loves us so much. He doesn't have us go into this world of trouble where we are guaranteed to have trouble and tribulation and leave us alone. But he says that we will be completely victorious. The enemy will be defeated. He goes on to say here as we close with the last few verses, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, we will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Uncertainty may not go away, but neither will the love of Christ. And even as we navigate uncertainty, we know that it's hard. It's frustrating trials, tribulations. We don't know when it's going to end. But we know, those of us who know the love of Jesus, know that that's far greater. And that will give us what we need to persevere and to sustain this season of uncertainty that we are in. Going back to that story of the family who lost their son, and going to that funeral home with them, and then seeing them see their son for the first time in the funeral home. It's, you know, devastating. It's heartbreaking. It's a nightmare. Nobody wants to see that. And yet, I know the love of Christ was present in that time. The love of Christ has continued to be present in this life of this family, even today as I still am in contact with them. Doesn't mean that we avoided that tribulation, but that the love of Christ is there in those kinds of moments. That's when it really matters. Of course, the love of Christ was present like on my wedding day or when we had our children or when I was baptized or somebody else I assisted in baptisms. That is awesome. But the love of Christ, if it is real, and I believe it is, shows up when we face trouble, when we face trials. That is when the love of Christ shows up in miraculous ways to bring comfort, to bring healing. When we have no hope, the love of Christ brings us hope. When we mourn, then we mourn with hope. When there's darkness in this world, Jesus comes and brings light and brings hope and brings truth to us. When we need it, that is when we need it the most. So we can not go to the world and say, look at me, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I don't have trials or troubles. No, look and see how Jesus has showed up in dark, dark times and has somehow, actually we know that he can do anything and he can bring peace and bring comfort. Look at what he has done. I am here now because of the love of Christ. I am here now because Jesus has overcome the world. This is the church. Trinity Church family, my prayer is for Christ Church as well throughout the state, throughout this country, that this world is troubled, but we know who has overcome the world, and we know who can bring hope when there is no hope. We know what is for sure, what is certain, that is Christ, his love for us, that he has defeated death, that we know that he's going to right the wrongs of this world, that he will wipe every tear from their eyes. This is what we can hold on to in this time. But we're overwhelmed. We're human. And my big idea for us this morning is when we feel overwhelmed, go to Jesus who has overcome. When we feel overwhelmed, go to Jesus who has overcome. I can forget that. And I'm sure many of you can as well. Because we can go on the news, we can see all these things, we can read all this stuff, or we can be frustrated, I can be angry, I can forget to go to Jesus. Well, let me go to Facebook instead of Jesus. It's like, well, no, I shouldn't do that. We need to go to Jesus, and we need to surround ourselves with people who are followers of Jesus that can encourage us in this time that we're in, to remind us who has overcome, remind us of the joy that we will experience in the future, and we can begin to experience now, that our grief will turn to joy. Now, just kind of to summarize here, when you face uncertainty, remember these things, that you have full access to God, that God, the Father, is available to us, and we can ask in the name of Jesus. And even when we don't have the word, sometimes we feel like, let me have this elaborate prayer. You know, maybe I've been a Christian for all this time and I know all these verses, or maybe you're not and you're like, I don't know what to pray. Know that the Holy Spirit is interceding, pleading for us with wordless groans when we're in pain, when we're in sorrow, when we're confused, when we're uncertain, and that Jesus as well is advocating for us. And that this joy is in the future. That's not to minimize what we're feeling right now, that we should weep with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn, but to know that joy is around the corner. It won't always be like this. And Jesus has overcome the world. He has overcome the world, and because of that, we have overwhelming victory in Christ. Not a victory that we eke out and we just got lucky, but that our enemy will be completely defeated. It will not even be close. And of course, that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. I wish I could say, you know, like, I'm going to bring up uncertainty. So I promise there's going to be no uncertainty from this point forward. I wish I could say that. But that is not the case in the world that we live in. There is no happily ever after in this world, in this time. But even with all of that, no matter death, all of these things, anxiety, depression, these big mountains that are real that we can face, that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And it needs to matter. It needs to matter for me, and it does matter to me that the love of Christ shows up in our darkest times, in the times of depression, of sorrow, of uncertainty. That is when the love of Christ comes to bring comfort, to bring peace, and to remind us that Jesus has overcome the world. Now, there might be some of you in the room who don't know Jesus yet or haven't placed your trust in him yet. I want to encourage you that this full access to God is available to you if you place your trust in Jesus. That Jesus, he laid down his life for your sins and has made a way that we can go to the Father and ask, and that we can have this full access to God and have life now and forever in Christ. So if that's you, I want to encourage you to consider placing your trust in him this morning. But I want to just pray for us. You know, every one of us are going through this in different ways. I want to pray for our Trinity Church family as well. These are uncertain times, and that is the reality of our situation. But Jesus has overcome the world. His vision and his future for us is that we would soar high on wings like eagles, to run and not grow weary, to walk and not faint. That is what he wants for his people. And even if you're not feeling like that, remember that vision, that hope that we will get there and we will have enough energy at the end of this season to celebrate with one another and see what God has done, because he is faithful. He is so faithful and so loving and so patient with us all, with his church and with the world as well. So let me pray. Father, I am thankful. Thankful that you love each and every one of us. Thankful that if we placed our trust in you, that we are overwhelmingly victorious. Help us to remember that when we feel defeated, when we feel down, when we feel overwhelmed, that remind us to go to you, to Jesus, who has overcome the world. And we know that is true because Jesus has defeated death, and he sits at the right hand of God, as we were reading in Romans 8. Help us to remember that we have full access to this God. So who can be against us? And our enemy will be defeated. He does steal, kill, and just destroy. So help us to remember that and to go to you. And what would it look like for us to be a church who walked in this truth? Not to pretend like we don't ever face trials or tribulation or uncertainty, but to be real and to say, this is how our God shows up in the face and in the midst of uncertainty. Help us to remember that. Help us to go to you for comfort, for peace. You will give us what we need. Even when we're weak, your strength works best in our weakness anyway. So we're thankful for that. For those in this room who don't know you, I just pray that you continue to draw them to you, that you sent your son Jesus to die for them. I pray that they would consider placing their trust in you soon, if not today, then very, very soon, Father. Continue to move in all of our hearts. Thank you for your patience, for your kindness, for your love. It is amazing how you show up in dark times and great times. Your love is awesome, and nothing can separate us from your love. And I pray you be with us, and I ask these things in Jesus' name.